On November 18, 1952, already CIA Director Admiral Roscoe Hinko Etta had declared in an instruction paper for the president-elect about the subject of UFOs, phenomena. In the words of Major Kehoe, this meant a cunning and ruthless censorship to stamp out public belief in UFOs. To this end, the CIA arranged a meeting of Air Force personnel and scientists at the Pentagon to secretly analyze the material proving the UFOs. This meeting took place on January 14-18, 1953, headed by Dr. H.B. Robertson from the University of California, after whom it has been named the Robertson Panel. The time was well chosen. In the previous November, a new Republican president had been elected, General Dwight D. Eisenhower. At the end of January, Eisenhower was going to be sworn in. Until then, they had to recommend to the president a new successful policy. On November 18, 1952, already CIA Director Admiral Roscoe Hinko Etta had declared in an instruction paper for the president-elect about the subject of UFOs, implications for national security are mainly given by the fact that motive and final intentions of the visitors are still completely unknown. This is compounded by the marked rise of reconnaissance flights by these ships in the time between May and autumn of this year, which have led to the concern that something new might be afoot. For these reasons, but also for obviously international and technological reasons and the utmost necessity to prevent panic at all cost, the Majestic 12 Commission univocally maintains that severe security measures will also have to be implemented without interruption by the new administration. On the last day, the panel adopted a public education program supported by all government agencies concerned with two main objectives: educate and trivialize. The aim of trivialization was to reduce public interest in flying saucers and could be accomplished via the mass media like television, movies and articles. The basis would be actual cases that would first cause confusion, but would then be explained. And as with magic tricks, there is scant interest once the trick has been revealed. The National Security Council was to start immediately the necessary action to strip the unidentified flying objects of the special status, the aura of the mysterious, they enjoy. We have been ordered to collaborate in a countrywide disclaiming campaign, Air Force Speaker Albert M. Chop said, to publish articles in newspapers and to give interviews to ridicule UFO reports. Captain Ruppelt adds, and that was not the worst. We were ordered to keep sightings secret, if at all possible, or, if a story had got out prematurely, to explain it away, whether balloon, meteorite, cloud, forgery. The author, in any case, to do everything possible to remove it. If we could not find a plausible explanation, we were just to ridicule the witnesses. During the following months, both Chop and Ruppelt resigned from the Air Force. The CIA policy of trivializing or ridiculing was only too successful. Just how successful, we learn from an open letter by the Initiative Justice for Military Personnel, JMP, of September 4, 1987, to then-President Reagan. The National UFO Trivialization Campaign, ordered by the CIA in 1953, fabricated books and infiltrated the press with hundreds of articles to surround the subject of UFOs with an aura of ridicule through false contacts and obvious UFO swindles. This ongoing campaign had CIA agents infiltrate civil UFO research groups to ridicule them by certain manipulations or to guide their efforts towards other explanations. This cover-up policy was more successful than the CIA ever expected, thanks to the brilliant manipulation of the press with the strategy of ridicule. The established press, for fear of ridicule, proved to be only too gullible towards official statements. NATO Major Hans C. Peterson writes about the reasons for this massive policy of secrecy: the monetary system would collapse, no power group would allow that. All religions would have to rethink, for truth is much simpler than the churches have taught us. This would mean the loss of power and influence by the churches and their religious leaders. No church wants that. 132, our energy supply would change, for we would get to know energy sources that don't pollute. At the same time though, the multinational oil conglomerates, the nuclear lobby etc., would lose their customers and hence their power. If one considers how far reaching the control of these companies is, then one can gauge the power of the opponent. Our politicians themselves, for people on this world would realize that there is only one humanity and that national borders as relics of an oppressing past have no more meaning. Who will trust political leaders anymore once it becomes clear that they have been lying to us for decades just to keep their power? Pollute. At the same time though, the multinational oil conglomerates, the nuclear lobby etc., would lose their customers and hence their power. If one considers how far reaching the control of these companies is, then one can gauge the power of the opponent. Our politicians themselves, for people on this world would realize that there is only one humanity and that national borders as relics of an oppressing past have no more meaning. Who will trust political leaders anymore once it becomes clear that they have been lying to us for decades just to keep their power? Matthias Becker of the Berlin Daily Taz put this very succinctly in an article about the Frankfurt UFO Conference of 1990. Today as then the governments of the world have no interest for reasons of self-preservation to acknowledge the presence of a technically and spiritually superior cosmic authority. Who would still listen to an earthly lump like Helmut Kohl, or to our Nobel Prize recipients and arrogant experts, if suddenly a small heavenly grey begin talks on television about the laws and rules on reticula and of the history of the cosmos? Not a soul. And therefore UFOs will have to be treated on a level with the Loch Ness Monster. The existence of extraterrestrials is subversive and radical and overturns everything that 2,000 years of scientific endeavor and devolution research have gathered as bare facts. And who of the so-called crown of creation wants to accept that the supernatural perhaps is not so supernatural after all, but plainly and clearly subnatural? To end with the subject of UFOs, I can just repeat, find the truth, for the truth will set you free. Another example is the very secret CIA project MKUltra, which has been used in the 50s by American psychologists and sociologists to ascertain the effects of mind-altering drugs. They now no longer experimented with guinea pigs, but with students at US universities. Scientists on the state payroll gave these, sometimes with and sometimes without their consent, narcotic and psychedelic drugs. Such experiments conducted en masse brought about the breakthrough of the hippie movement in the US, with taking exception, please, to the weary old saying of find the truth, for the truth will set you free. Is nice but not so. If you find the truth, you are a long way toward being able to do something which may very well set you and your brethren free. Unfortunately, just knowing the truth is only the first step on that journey to freedom. Chapter 48 Biopsychological Warfare. Almost everyone has heard of psychological warfare. In the case of war, you, for instance, poison the water supply of the enemy and disseminate viruses or bacteria. That is not new, but have you ever considered where these warfare agents are tested? I will cite a few examples. In 1950, a U.S. Navy vessel testing the attacking and defending possibilities of biological weapons hit San Francisco, USA, for 6 days befogged with the bacterium serratia. Almost all of the then 800,000 citizens felt some of it. Today, it is known that serratia bacteria causes a kind of pneumonia that can be deadly. The Army further disclosed that between 1949 and 1969 a total of 239 tests in the open had been carried out, 80 of which were with germs, that makes 4 attacks per year on American cities, and that for 20 years. According to CIA reports, during the same period and independently, the agency also bombarded towns with bacteria and germs. Apparently they stopped after 1969. No, they did not stop. 133. The Americans were not only bombarded with germs, but also with something much more effective. As the NBC announced on July 16, 1981, the northwest of the U.S. had for several years been subjected to low-frequency wave attacks by the Soviet Union. These radio waves were set to the biological electric frequencies. They are known as ELF, extremely low frequency waves, and had been discovered at the beginning of this century by Nikola Tesla. Books are available. In 1884, Tesla came to work with Edison, but they soon parted ways because of differing views about the production of electric energy, and Tesla decided to work of Edison's competitor Westinghouse. In 1892, the first power station for alternating current, designed by Tesla and constructed by Westinghouse, was put in operation in Niagara Falls. A short time later, Tesla catapulted into a scientific superspace where, as far as we know today, no scientist alive then was able to follow. Only the banker J.P. Morgan, J.P. Morgan & Company, was the representative of N.M. Rothschild & Company in the U.S., who had financed Westinghouse, seems to have understood what was afoot. Tesla had started to tap into the energy field that surrounds the Earth and fills space, then called ether, and draw out energy, for free, of course. At the same time, he used the energetic field of the ether for several forms of communication and energy transport. Energy sources like coal, oil and water would become obsolete, as would electrical high-tension power lines. Ships, and automobiles, aircraft factories and houses could draw their energy directly from the energy field of the ether. By the end of 1898, at his Colorado Springs experimental area financed by J.P. Morgan, Tesla came very close to the technical solution of collecting energy from the ether. Today this technology is known as the conversion of gravitational energy or of tachyon energy. Morgan understood very clearly what this development meant. The control of electricity, oil, petrol, coal, etc., would no longer have been assured. Therefore he ordered work to cease and Tesla's Colorado Springs Center to be destroyed. But Tesla did not give up. Until his death on January 7, 1943, he brought forth a staggering number of inventions, some revolutionary and some whose implications can even today only be guessed. His inventions could in a short time turn the Earth into a paradise. But, as you now know, this is not what our manipulators want. Among those developments were machines that can gather energy from the ether, today the tachyon field, and transform it into usable energy, and a solid-state converter, 1931, which drove a special electrical motor that was installed in a heavy luxury limousine and gave the latter a performance similar to the petrol engine. The car was test-driven for a week at 130 km per hour, fuel cost zero. This appliance, the size of a wine box, produced enough energy to run a whole household. He further succeeded in starting artificial earthquakes by a vibration induced in the tachyon field that then was transferred to all matter. He once subjugated a whole block in New York to such a quake. Apart from having a patent for the remote control of vehicles, 1898, he also had developed energy transmission without cables. Effective. As the NBC announced on July 16, 1981, the northwest of the U.S. had for several years been subjected to low-frequency wave attacks by the Soviet Union. These radio waves were set to the biological electric frequencies. They are known as ELF, extremely low-frequency waves, and had been discovered at the beginning of this century by Nikola Tesla. Books are available. In 1884, Tesla came to work with Edison, but they soon parted ways because of differing views about the production of electric energy, and Tesla decided to work of Edison's competitor Westinghouse. In 1892, the first power station for alternating current, designed by Tesla and constructed by Westinghouse, was put in operation in Niagara Falls. A short time later, Tesla catapulted into a scientific superspace where, as far as we know today, no scientist alive then was able to follow. Only the banker J.P. Morgan, J.P. Morgan & Company was the representative of N.M. Rothschild & Company in the U.S., who had financed Westinghouse, seems to have understood what was afoot. Tesla had started to tap into the energy field that surrounds the Earth and fills space, then called ether, and draw out energy, for free, of course. At the same time, he used the energetic field of the ether for several forms of communication and energy transport. Energy sources like coal, oil and water would become obsolete, as would electrical high-tension power lines. Ships, and automobiles, aircraft factories and houses could draw their energy directly from the energy field of the ether. By the end of 1898, at his Colorado Springs experimental area financed by J.P. Morgan, Tesla came very close to the technical solution of collecting energy from the ether. Today this technology is known as the conversion of gravitational energy or of tachyon energy. Morgan understood very clearly what this development meant. The control of electricity, oil, petrol, coal, etc., would no longer have been assured. Therefore he ordered work to cease and Tesla's Colorado Springs Center to be destroyed. But Tesla did not give up. Until his death on January 7, 1943, he brought forth a staggering number of inventions, some revolutionary and some whose implications can even today only be guessed. His inventions could in a short time turn the Earth into a paradise. But, as you now know, this is not what our manipulators want. Among those developments were machines that can gather energy from the ether, today the tachyon field, and transform it into usable energy and a solid-state converter, 1931, which drove a special electrical motor that was installed in a heavy luxury limousine and gave the latter a performance similar to the petrol engine. The car was test-driven for a week at 130 km per hour, fuel cost zero. This appliance, the size of a wine box, produced enough energy to run a whole household. He further succeeded in starting artificial earthquakes by a vibration induced in the tachyon field that then was transferred to all matter. He once subjugated a whole block in New York to such a quake. Apart from having a patent for the remote control of vehicles, 1898, he also had developed energy transmission without cables. An interesting thing flows from such a device as mentioned above, and one which is contained in a device no larger than a fist, a counter to earthquakes. If you interrupt counter, the frequency build-up in the earth building to a quake, you can stop the major damage as an outcome. But what concerns us in this book is his discovery of standing waves, which we will look into a bit later, and of extremely low frequencies known as the Tesla effect. These experiments formed the basis of all modern research in the area of ELF communication. If the tachyon field is subjected to an ELF wave and is then aimed at a human being, electrical functions in the brain are disrupted, which causes severe disturbances in the waking consciousness. The neurological and physiological functions are interfered with by a diminution of the mental functions and thus make the person more susceptible. From an article by the Associated Press of May 20, 1983, we learn that this is intended, for 134, apparently the USSR has used a device called LIDAR from about 1960 onwards to influence human behavior with low-frequency radio waves. In the USSR, LIDAR was used to calm people and to induce a trance-like condition. Psychic problems, neuroses and hypertension can be thus treated, but states of aggression or depression may also be caused. Large LIDAR units had been used to irradiate with aimed beams individuals, towns and even whole areas of the USSR and the US to affect certain modes of behavior. According to the US Defense Intelligence Agency, it is possible to have sounds and even whole words appear in the brain of a human being, but also to cause strokes, cardiac arrests, epileptic fits and other illnesses by remote control. One of the earlier cases of the invisible war that became known was the so-called Moscow signal. When the US embassy was checked for bugs in 1962, A microwave beam aimed directly at the embassy was detected. Under the CIA Project Pandora, the motives for the microwave attack were investigated. It was found that headaches, eye aches, vomiting, tiredness, general weakness, nausea, irritability, fear, depression, disturbed sleep, tension, inhibited intellectual functions, reduced memory and cancer were among the effects caused by the microwaves. According to security advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski, the U.S. personnel of the Moscow embassy has the highest incidence of cancer in the world. After a short respite due to demands President Lyndon Johnson placed with Prime Minister Alexei N. Kosygin, the microwave bombardment to the embassy wall resumed. Through the so-called psychotronics with Tesla weapons that are relatively easy to build, it is possible to disengage the waking consciousness in soldiers and thus stop their will to attack. In an article in Magazine 200, number 97 of December 1993, we read, Human Behavior with Low-Frequency Radio Waves. In the USSR, LIDAR was used to calm people and to induce a trance-like condition. Psychic problems, neuroses and hypertension can be thus treated, but states of aggression or depression may also be caused. Large LIDAR units had been used to irradiate with aimed beams individuals, towns and even whole areas of the USSR and the US to affect certain modes of behavior. According to the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency, it is possible to have sounds and even whole words appear in the brain of a human being, but also to cause strokes, cardiac arrests, epileptic fits and other illnesses by remote control. One of the earlier cases of the invisible war that became known was the so-called Moscow signal. When the U.S. embassy was checked for bugs in 1962, a microwave beam aimed directly at the embassy was detected. Under the CIA Project Pandora, the motives for the microwave attack were investigated. It was found that headaches, eye aches, vomiting, tiredness, general weakness, nausea, irritability, fear, depression, disturbed sleep, tension, inhibited intellectual functions, reduced memory and cancer were among the effects caused by the microwaves. According to security advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski, the U.S. personnel of the Moscow embassy has the highest incidence of cancer in the world. After a short respite due to demands President Lyndon Johnson placed with Prime Minister Alexei N. Kosygin, the microwave bombardment to the embassy wall resumed. Through the so-called psychotronics with Tesla weapons that are relatively easy to build, it is possible to disengage the waking consciousness in soldiers and thus stop their will to attack. In an article in Magazine 200, number 97 of December 1993, we read, New psychotronic weapons. Do you remember the images from the Gulf War where thousands of Iraqi soldiers who capitulated, came out of their trenches and surrendered even to journalists, were welcome cannon fodder for the American artillery, despite the white flags? More and more military experts are now convinced that this sudden and lemming-like surrender was not due to the poor supply situation of Saddam's troops but to psychotronic mind-control weapons of the U.S. Some of these high-tech super-weapons use the effects of radio waves on the human brain. The January 1993 edition of Aviation Week and Space Technology reported that the U.S. Defense Ministry was now equipping rockets with devices that could create electromagnetic impulses, EMPs, to paralyze the enemy without having to resort to atomic, biological or chemical components. This type of weapon was mainly aimed at disrupting the enemy's electronic systems. Other devices use supersonic sounds of ELF. Extremely low frequency waves that cause nausea and vomiting and seriously interfere with the sense of direction of those attacked. These weapons have a range of at least 2,500 kilometers. Just as the aggressiveness can be diminished, centers of aggression can be produced, of which civil wars, unrest, collective suicide, hatred, etc., may result. In insider publications, one often reads about the so-called Tesla weapon. These are very effective devices that use the unlimited energy potential of the tachyon field in space for power. The best known authorities in this sector are the U.S. Army Colonel and physicist Thomas E. Bearden and the American physicists Sidney Hurwitz and Guy Oblensky. The latter two have for years been actively working for Israeli defense. In 1969, Hurwitz had constructed a Tesla weapon that in a radius of 300 meters drastically raised or lowered the gravitational acceleration of ferrous metals. So Hurwitz could, for instance, make a tiny pistol weigh many kilograms and change the dimensions so that the ammunition would no longer fit. With stronger influencing, he had the arm's metal ripped to pieces like dough. These tests were filmed and are shown in the video trilogy, UFOs, From Legend to Reality, Top Secret, 135, The Contact by Royal Atlantis Film GmbH, Munich, Germany, telephone 0898505494. There is also an interview with Thomas C. Bearden. Weather warfare is another subject most people don't know about. Before we look at it though, let us deal with the weather in general. We assume that the main problem causing today's weather anomalies is the fact that the Earth gradually cools while the doubling up to now of the CO2 content of the atmosphere causes a warming up, greenhouse effect. An article in the New Solidaridad, New Solidarity of February 24, 1993 adds, recently one could read in the well-known magazine Nature that there is a vast discrepancy between the climatic breakdown predicted by the most expensive mainframe computers and reality. In the January 28 issue we published an article by Jonathan DeCull titled The Absence of Any Signs of Greenhouse Warming Over the Arctic Ocean Over the Last 40 Years. The beginning of the article shows already what this is all about. It states that the general circulation model of the atmosphere predicted an increased greenhouse warming in higher latitudes. They published temperature measurements in the lower troposphere over the Arctic Ocean made between 1950 and 1990. They had analyzed more than 27,000 temperature profiles. Most trends were statistically not significant. In particular, they had not noticed any large-scale warming of the surface as predicted in their climatic models. Indeed, they discovered a marked cooling for the seasons of autumn and winter over the western Arctic Ocean. This discrepancy suggests that today's climatic models do not correctly represent the physical processes that influence the polar regions. Moira Timms writes in the 6 O'Clock Bus, Turnstone Books, London 1979, that observatories at the Polar Circle report that during the last 30 years the temperature had fallen by about 6 degrees C. The New Solidaridad goes on, it would be hasty now to conclude that the greenhouse models were proved wrong, and this for a very simple reason: the greenhouse models cannot be disproved by any measurements or any other scientific facts. They are irrefutable because they have nothing to do with scientific statements. Climatic models are sociological manipulative instruments that allow to construct from a sufficient number of external parameters and arbitrary observation data disaster scenarios with a maximum political potential for being put through. Therefore, we predict that the very data from Gal's study, which today apparently contradict the climatic models, will in just a few weeks belong among the best confirmations for the greenhouse theory. The flexibility of those models should not be underestimated. A subject that never appears in the media is that of a possible new ice age. After studying rock and soil samples over decades, many reputable meteorologists and geologists have come to the conclusion that during the next 50 years an ice age should establish itself. According to their views, an ice age is independent of the greenhouse effect caused by the pollution of the atmosphere. In only a few decades, the cooling would equal the warming presently occurring. It is even more worrisome when we consider that only 1% less sunlight could cause the next ice age. The reduction of irradiation through environmental pollution is less disturbing than the fact that a gigantic volcanic eruption could diminish sunlight considerably. Clouds of fine ashes from such an eruption can stay in the stratosphere for years and lower the temperatures on the surface by several degrees. Very little of this ever appears in the media. You should not believe everything appearing in the media about environmental pollution. It is advisable to also lend an ear to the other side.